Welcome to the National Presbyterian Church podcast. I'm Pastor Ray Hilton, and I'd like to personally say how thrilled we are to share our sermon with you this week. If you feel encouraged by our messages, we invite you to hit the subscribe button so you will never miss an episode. Now, let's go to the National Presbyterian Church sanctuary and hear the word of the Lord.
The scripture reading today is from Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 17, found on page 789 of your pew Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, appealing to him, and saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed in terrible distress." And he said to him, "I will come and cure him." The centurion answered, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only speak the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard him, he was amazed and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and will take their place at the banquet with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the heirs of the kingdom will be thrown out into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done to you according to your faith." And the servant was healed in that hour. When Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to serve him. That evening, they brought to him many who were possessed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and cured all who were sick. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah: "He took our infirmities and bore our diseases." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everyone, and the Lord is with you. And Zachary, thank you for reading our scripture this morning. Would you join me in prayer? Our gracious God, we come now to you. We have no other help but you. If you were to withdraw yourself from us, we would have nowhere to go. We thank you that indeed you have condescended and you have come to us in the person of Jesus. And we pray that these scriptures will only take us farther and deeper in loving and knowing Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. So today we are shifting gears, and we are actually starting our fall sermon series with an emphasis that over the 6 weeks, many of you will participate in a short-term small group that looks at this series of sermons that we're going to be talking about. This series will lead us in thinking about our deepest longings and our toughest questions. And so we're calling this series Prayer, Compassion, and the Healing Power of Jesus. And over these weeks, we will journey together to understand how our prayers for healing, for wholeness, for restoration connect with the heart of a compassionate God. And I think the best way to benefit from this series is to do it with others. So consider being part of one of our short-term small groups. And I'll say more about that as I close my thoughts for today. As we're going through these passages over the next few weeks, we're going to grapple with the tension that, of course, we pray, but sometimes the healing doesn't come. We'll also discover that we are called to be agents of Jesus' compassion. And we will ultimately anchor our hope, not in something that is temporary, but in this massive promise that Jesus gives to us, a promise of new heaven and new earth. So it's important for us this morning to acknowledge that not all prayers for physical healing will result in a cure. We will find out as we read these passages deeply that healing is really God's work. And it takes many forms, of course. Sometimes there is that immediate cure, and we praise God for that when it happens. And then there are other times when the healing is gradual, through medicine, through therapy, through time. But then, as you and I well know, the ultimate healing comes through dying and rising in the presence of God. And that's a hard one for us. And yet, that is the ultimate healing. Our calling, then, is not to control the outcome, but it's to faithfully minister. What we see of Jesus in this passage, we see the compassion, we see the power of Christ in all of these situations. And I'd like to invite you to, if you would, if you could turn in your pew Bible to page 789. And let's just look again at the examples that we see here. Because we'll notice as we read the passage, actually all of Matthew 8 is a great chapter to read. But particularly for us, we look at the times where Jesus heals on three different occasions. The centurion's servant, Peter's mother-in-law, and then later in the evening, this vast, nameless, faceless crowd of people who come to Jesus, and Jesus ministers to every illness and affliction. But I do want you to know this. You say, well, why are we talking about this? Well, I think it's important for us to understand. John Calvin, in his Institute of the Christian Religion, reflected on this passage, and he said, what we see here, we see Jesus's compassion, we see his authority, but then he also says, we see that these healings are a sign that the kingdom of God indeed has come. So we want to look at these passages because these healings are not relics of the past. They're not museum pieces that we dust off and we sort of come back to them and put them away. But rather, as Calvin says, these are signs of the kingdom of God. They're breaking into the world. And that same kingdom is still breaking into our world today. And so, I'm not a pastor. I am a pastor, but I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a psychologist or a mental health therapist or social worker. But I am a pastor, and like all these professions, I care deeply about people's physical and their mental and their emotional, and even their spiritual health. I care about the whole person. And I continue to read books like the one you see on the screen, books like Bessel van der Kolk's book, The Body Keeps the Score, where this author delves very deeply as a doctor, as a clinician, in understanding what trauma does to the human being. How it causes us to be stuck, how it wounds us, how it shapes us. And I'm here to say to you this morning that every one of us, we are carrying some kind of wound. We're carrying some kind of brokenness within our lives. And the good news of Matthew chapter 8 is that it shows us something very wonderful, that Jesus not only acknowledges our wounds, but Jesus takes them upon himself. And he bears them. So the goal of this series is to point us continually to the nature of who Jesus is, the one who has come to take our burdens and our wounds upon himself and ultimately to redeem them. So I want you to notice very quickly the three different scenarios of healing. The first one, we see a healing that crosses boundaries. So when you look at verses 5 through 13, the first person who comes to Jesus is the most unlikely candidate. He's a Roman centurion. He's an outsider. He's an occupier, some would say. He's an enemy to be avoided. He's Gentile. By every standard, this man was outside the covenant. He was outside of the community of the people of God. He should be the villain of this story, right? But yet he comes to Jesus because he's still human, and he comes with a plea. He doesn't come as one who's entitled. He comes with humility. He comes with compassion. He actually has a love in his heart for a servant of his that is at home, paralyzed, suffering from a very terrible disease. And Jesus' response, as we would expect, is, "Let's go. Let's go." And the man says, "Hold on, Jesus. Hold on a minute. I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof." And he goes on and he tells Jesus a little bit about his military career, that he is one who is under authority and that he has soldiers under him who respond to his authority. And he says, "Lord, I get it. When I tell my soldiers to go or to stop or to do, they immediately execute it. I have people working for me at home. And when I tell these folks what I want them to do, they immediately do it. So I understand authority. I know authority when I see it. And you have all absolute authority. So Lord, all you need to do is say the word. Say the word. And I know that my servant will be healed." And Jesus is astonished. And we're told why. Jesus says, "I've been through all of Israel, and I have not found anyone with such great faith. I've been in the synagogues, I've met the rabbis, I've met the various religious elites, and I've not seen this kind of faith." And what Jesus wants us to know is that the kingdom of God includes people on the outside, and they're brought in. People will come from the east and the west, and they will sit at table. But he says, those who say they have faith may find themselves excluded and cast out into outer darkness. And you can just hear or feel the reaction of the religious community, the scribes and the Pharisees, who most likely were in the crowd and heard Jesus say those words. What does this mean for us? It means that the healing power of Jesus is for everyone. That's why we care about this. It's for everyone. You don't have to be Presbyterian. It's not limited by your pedigree. It's not limited by anything in your past or even our own perceived unworthiness. Jesus' authority knows no boundaries. Read Mark 8 and you'll see they're in a boat. And the boat is about to capsize and they wake Jesus up, and we're told that Jesus speaks to the wind and the waves. The storm is over. The disciples are wondering, who is this man who has so much authority? And when you understand that, knowing that Jesus has all authority, it will shape and reshape the way you pray. Because what that means for me, and I really believe this, is that we can approach Jesus, we can approach his throne of grace with any and every concern that I see before me. We can pray for people in faraway places. We can pray for people right across the street. We can pray for people right immediately in our presence, because Jesus' authority knows no boundaries. No one is beyond his reach. And this is why I pray, because I believe that every time we pray, something happens. And it may not be what we're looking for. We may not even notice the results of our prayer. But every time we pray, something happens. And when we know that Jesus has all authority, it emboldens us to pray. But it also influences our compassion. Because like Jesus, we're called to see. We're called to serve those who are considered the outsiders. And we're called to point people to Jesus, who welcomes people with open arms. Well, here's the second scene I want you to notice in verses 14 and 15. Unlike the other healing, this healing draws near. Let me explain to you what I mean by that. Because right after that, Jesus goes into Capernaum. And the scene now shifts from this interaction with this very powerful centurion And now Jesus goes into this very small, modest home where there is a sick woman. But you'll notice, as you read verse 14, that Jesus doesn't wait for someone to ask for help. When Jesus, it says, came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in a bed with a fever. Jesus is observant. He's in this home, and I can imagine people are busy making preparations for some kind of a meal, maybe. The disciples are there. Everyone's talking. But Jesus' attention is drawn to that room, that woman who is suffering in silence. And I believe this is the foundation of all congregational care, where we're either seeing or we're sensing that there is a need even before the need is articulated. I don't know if you've ever had that happen to you before. And I know that in congregations across this region and across the United States, there are people who are gathering in churches on a Sunday morning, and they come to church metaphorically lying in bed with a fever. They're suffering from mental anguish, some kind of trauma. They're in pain. They're filled with fear. They're filled with concerns. But when they come, they present themselves in a way that suggests that they're okay. They mask their suffering. But I notice when I read the text that Jesus understood what this woman was going through, and Jesus understands what you're going through, and he wants to redeem your pain. And here we are as the church. We are the body of Christ. And the local congregation today becomes the place where pain and suffering is seen and it's carried together. And my dream for us is that as we grow in grace and as a congregation together, we will move from the periphery, which is where some of us are. I'm glad you're here. You worship. When you're done, pick up your bulletin, and you head to the parking lot, and you go home. And I'm glad you're here. Don't get me wrong. But I'm hoping you will do more than that. I'm hoping you will move from the periphery, and you will move toward the center. That's where the action is. And get connected so that other people can walk with you, and you, in turn, can walk with them, and together we bear one another's burden. Jesus has done this so many times where he sees people. He sees a crowd, but in the crowd he sees a person. Or he goes into the synagogue and he sees a woman who is bent over. Or he goes into a Samaritan village for a cup of water and there is this woman who has a thirst that no one else knows, but Jesus knows this woman is thirsty. In a similar way, we, the church, are called to see like Jesus. And in order to do that, we have to slow down and we have to listen. And this gives us the opportunity to bear one another's burden and to pray for one another so that we might be healed. And whenever we pray, something always happens. You see, when we are operating in this way, we are no longer observers, but we become participants in the ministry that we see Jesus doing here. And you can see the difference. Jesus met the centurion. He spoke the word, didn't go to the person's house. But in this story, Jesus walks into the room. He sees the woman. He touches the woman. And this is a kind of healing. It's intimate. It's personal. It's compassionate. He enters that place of sickness. And when he touches the woman, the fever leaves her. She got up and she began to serve him. What does this mean for us as the church? Well, I'll be honest with you. When I read this several times, it reminds me of one of the trainings that Pastor Lisa has done here at our church, where she talks about how important it is to stop, to drop, and to pray. And what I take from her emphasis on this is that, like Jesus, we're called to notice people. We're called to listen to people, not listening so that we can give an answer, but listening so that we understand even the unspoken. And then we are also listening to the voice of God, because in those moments when we stop and we drop what we're doing, it gives us the opportunity to ask the question, is it okay if I pray for you right now? And I know that's scary for some of us. I heard someone say the other day, I am not comfortable praying out loud, and that's okay. Because I believe we are all called to grow. And it could be, instead of just saying, you know what, I will be praying for you, we can say, why don't we pray right now? And we do that because whenever we pray, something always happens. I'll give you an example. Back in the month of May, Judith and I went out for an evening walk, and we're going along, and we ran into one of our neighbors on the sidewalk. And we know a little bit about his backstory. He had gone through surgery a few years ago, and the surgery was botched, and he's now living with pain every single day. So when I saw him, I asked him, how are you doing? And he said, it's not going well. I'm just living with so much pain. And we listened and we talked with him. And before we left him, I said, and I called his name and I said to him, is it okay if we pray for you right now? He said, oh, I would love it. Now, what you need to know about this man is that he's Jewish. He's Orthodox. And he was willing. He knows I'm a pastor. But the pain that he's going through, it didn't matter anymore. He said, would you do that for me? And right there on the sidewalk, we just kind of huddled together. We laid our hands on him, and we prayed for him in that moment. We stopped what we were doing. We dropped all of that, and we prayed right then and there. Now, I don't know what happened to him. I just know that whenever we pray, something happens. And then the last story is just as compelling. If you look at verses 16 through 17, that evening, so this has been a long day for Jesus, they brought to him many who were possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he cured all who were sick. And this was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took our infirmities, he bore our diseases. And then Matthew gives us what I think is the key that unlocks this entire series that we're focusing on. Jesus, to fulfill what had been spoken by the prophet Isaiah, took our infirmities and our diseases. This is a quote, by the way, from Isaiah 53. Go ahead and look it up sometime. And it's a prophecy about this coming suffering servant who would be pierced for our transgressions and who would be crushed for our iniquities. And that's what I see happening here. Jesus' healing ministry was not just about solving temporary problems. Every healing that Jesus did was a sign that was pointing to a better day. It was a sign that was reminding us that this is not all there is. That the ultimate healing for sin and for death was accomplished through his suffering. And he wanted to show through his suffering that the cross then is the greatest demonstration of his power and his authority to heal. The future breaks into the present when God touches someone's life and gives us a glimpse of the world as it will be one day. And so what this means for us is that our hope is not finally in whatever healing we experience in this life. Nobody wants to be sick. Nobody wants to be in pain. But our ultimate hope is not a life that is free of sickness and pain. Our ultimate hope is in the one who bore our diseases, who conquered death, and this is the solid ground for our prayer. And so whether God heals us or not, our hope is in him. Because we know that our ultimate healing is coming. Let me give you an example of why this is so important for me. Many years ago, a member of our church and actually a really good friend of mine to this day, was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. And of course, if you went to the doctor and you got a diagnosis like that, it plunges you into the depths of despair and anxiety. This man was broken. The doctors were not particularly hopeful, and they gave him just a few months to live. But he was part of a small group. And one night when he went to his small group, he asked them if they would pray for him. He asked them if they would gather around him and lay their hands on him and pray for him. And he told me how during the prayer, he felt this incredible warmth that just kind of wrapped him in a blanket. And instead of dying in a few months, it's been more than a decade now, and this dear friend of mine, we still text together from Evanston back to D.C. He's still very much alive. He's still very much serving. And what he would tell me from time to time, he says, I still can't explain it. My doctors can't explain it, but I know that Jesus met me in my pain and the lung cancer was gone. The thing you need to know is that in his small group, no pastors were present. There were no special prayer gurus that were present. It was just people like you and me, filled with compassion, filled with the conviction to pray, who prayed for him, and God did the rest. But my takeaway from his story always is that life will come at us in very unpredictable ways. And if you're used to walking alone, it will be very difficult when life becomes unpredictable. And that's the reason why my vision increasingly for our church is that we will move from the periphery to the center. We will become more connected where people know us and we are knowing others. And together as the body of Christ, we're caring for each other and we're bringing our brokenness to Jesus together. We bring our doubts, we bring our pain, we bring our feelings of unworthiness, and we share them in the intimacy of those groups with brothers and sisters who will pray for us and support us and stand with us. And that's a beautiful story. But I can also tell you the other side of the story. With so many people in my family, personal friends, who did exactly what this dear friend did. He gathered with others who prayed for him. And God had a different plan. And the ultimate healing that came was that this person died and rose in the presence of God. And I know that's hard to hear for some of us. I think about that family when I was an associate pastor in Ohio. Wonderful family, 8-year-old daughter stricken with pneumonia, with leukemia, and the entire church was praying for this little girl. Went up to Cleveland Clinic with the family and spent the last moments where she breathed her last. You know, next Sunday, we will talk about the second aspect of this series. And we'll talk about unanswered prayers, but an unshaken faith. And we will look at an example in Scripture where there was this follower of Jesus who was afflicted with a sickness and who prayed earnestly. And God, in God's wisdom, chose not to answer that prayer. But this person's faith remained unshaken. Healing, at the end of the day, is God's business. But we're called to do two things. Be bold in our prayers. Be bold with our compassion. And walk with each other through our pain and our suffering. And that's what we see here in many of the texts that we will read. And I pray for us as a congregation that that's what we will do. Bold in our prayers, bold in our compassion, and walk with each other through those dark moments. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Would you pray with me? And I want to pray for you especially this morning, or someone that you know, or maybe someone who is watching us online. Lord God, I lift up every person here in this room, everyone who is watching online, everyone who is carrying a wound and is struggling right now. Maybe it's because of a hard diagnosis, because of a debilitating illness, because of some hidden mental or emotional battle. Lord God, we pray boldly this morning because you know each and every one of us by name. You know our story. You know what we're carrying. And Lord, even now, through the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask that we would cast all of our cares on you, trusting that you care for us. And we do ask for your healing touch. You are our Heavenly Father, that you would renew strength, you would bring comfort. You would lift up those who are weary, those who are sick, those who are carrying heavy burdens. That God, you would hold them close, reminding them that they're not alone, and that your peace would guard their hearts and their minds. And we pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're glad that you could be with us today. If you would like more information about our church, visit our website at nationalprez.org. That's nationalprez.org. Help us spread the good news of the gospel by sharing our podcast with your friends and giving us a rating. If you haven't already, be sure to click the subscribe button. See you next week.